Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You both got to want to work on it, right? And I think we did. We both wanted the relationship to keep going. And it was after you broke up with me, like, but for 2 minutes.
Well, I dumped your bitch ass for two minutes.
And then I broke a coffee table. He was like, oh shit, I love you, actually.
You broke my favorite coffee table.
Yeah.
She shattered my coffee table.
Well, you shattered my heart. So it was an eye for an eye.
And it was an even trade.
Yeah, I mean, coffee table, my heart.
Coffee table's life for your heart.
Yeah. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello,
and this is my partner in marriage, Stephen Green.
Like we're in a gay relationship?
No, you could be a partner and be straight.
Like we're cops?
Yeah.
All right, I like that. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's like a buddy cop movie.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. And I'm like the anal one, and you're the goofy
one. Can you be the anal one?
Yeah.
You should be.
I love anal.
Do you?
No, I don't.
I know.
But I'm the one that gives it, then.
It's a real sticking point for me.
Sticking point.
That's not what I meant.
That's funny.
I don't like it.
Oh, that's true. You're not... It would never be funny.
No.
Anyway, can I continue with my topic? Or no. Are you going to be anal about this intro?
How about it?
Okay, so... As I have said in previous episodes, we were going to do an episode about the beginning of our relationship and whether or not we would have told ourselves to break up had we submitted back then. Let's say like we wrote into the show and we're like, hey, this is going on. Like, should we break up? Would we have hit the breakup button?
Right.
And I wanted to delve into that because...
Probably.
Yeah, because probably. Like, if we're going to give people advice... Like, yeah. I think it's because it comes from a place of being able to relate and you can kind of distinguish which one's kind of going to make it and not, and like which one's going to be a waste of time.
Correct.
So just to kind of paint some context, paint the picture a little bit, Steve and I, we've talked a lot about this on previous episodes, like our first year of our relationship was really rocky. It was like not a dream. Like a lot of people
are
like.
It was also great.
Like, oh, we're in the honeymoon phase. Like, a lot of people, when they first get together, like, in a honeymoon phase, and then, like, down the road, they get married, and they're like, oh, yeah, it wasn't like how it was in the beginning. You know, ours was the opposite.
It was, but it was also great.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it wasn't for the great parts, we would have been fucked.
Yeah. Well, right? what great parts were your favorite back then?
Any time that you and me were just hanging with each other, like, when I didn't have to sit in traffic.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah, you were a very angry man.
You make me very grumpy.
Very angry man.
Coming from Maker Studios to see you was like the worst thing of all time.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, dude, I've never seen someone so pissed when they pick me up for a date before.
Yeah. I mean, I just had to like settle into it. And then I was
just
fine.
Like,
once I settled in, I was fine.
I don't know. I masked the fuck up. Like if I'm having in a bad mood, but like I'm on a date and I'm trying to put my best foot forward, like you will not know that I am in a pissed off mood.
And I am who I am.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about
like,
it.
It's just like, dude, this bro is like so mad to be on this date.
Yeah, but I wasn't. And then I was fine. Like you said, like 25 minutes in, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, picking you up, I'm just getting out of traffic and like fucking A. LA is just brutal.
Yeah, it is. And then parking around my neighborhood's
just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And like she has it easy. Like I'm coming to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it should have been the other way around. I'm comfortable with that. But then like sometimes her street's so packed, it takes me 45 minutes to park.
But that wasn't
after
like
sitting in traffic for an hour.
That wasn't anything we fought about at all. Like
I never punished her for it.
No. And I was like just observing. I'm like, I would say like out loud, like you're really angry when you pick me up. You're really like mad.
Yep. I'd be driving around.
He's like, I fucking hate traffic. He just really hates traffic.
I'll park like 4.5 blocks away.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, it's a little bit dicey getting to Nikki's place.
Okay, so say you're writing the show. What's all the stuff that's like, okay, I really like this person because...
Oh, I mean, you know, like, we were fucking nonstop, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
And like,
but you could do that with anybody.
Not with anybody.
I would do it with literally anybody.
I know you would, but I can't. No, I mean, it was, we had a passionate time.
Yeah.
And I was like genuinely in love with you, like from the moment that we got together.
Because we all know that like people can have sex and not, doesn't mean they're going to make it. Like, so it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean.
No, I was like in.
Well, we from the beginning, like the third time we had sex, we both were like, this was like making love.
We've
never experienced 100%. The making love. Like, I always thought that was just a corny way of saying you fuck somebody.
Yeah.
But like it was, there's no other way to describe it. Like, it was love.
Yeah. And it was like the most romantic thing of all time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just the most romantic. Yeah. It was not like, it wasn't like all horny. No. Like, it was, I mean, like, obviously the chemistry was there, but it was
the chemistry was so there, it was insane.
Connected.
Yeah. But
it was like our souls connected.
This was like almost like you're doing an improv scene and you're heightening it. It's like,
yeah,
the chemistry is there, but then you're heightening it. And like, that's
what. Yeah. Neither of us had experienced that before. So
never.
There was that. And then.
And it wasn't something we went into it like, let's make love.
No.
It just happened.
No,
right?
Not at all. In fact, like, we are really romantic people, I would say, but like, I don't think our sex, like, what turns us on is kind of more rough. Like, it's not, it's not really like that romantic type of sex.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So for that to happen very organically was just a very first time experience.
Yes.
I also feel like, you know, we were friends for 3 years. So I got to get to know each other's like personalities. Like, I already knew that he was like funny and like very gentlemanly. I think that it was like really the first time that I'd been treated in a way where someone was like really courting me, you know? I mean, I'd gone on some dates and like some guys said they were courting me, but this was like, you were.
Actions are bigger than words, motherfucker.
Yeah, I really just felt like.
A lot of guys like to say that shit, but they don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, they would take me out to dinner, so it was true. They were like technically courting me, but like, you were I felt like every time we went out to dinner, it wasn't just for the sake of like, you're taking me on a date to, because you have to do the action, the steps, you know, going through the motions. I genuinely felt like we got to know each other on a really deep level each and every date. Like,
yes.
Our first date was like crazy.
Yes.
It was very
storybook.
Like, just we Fairy clicked. Tale. We just couldn't stop talking. It was like every time we talked about a new subject, I felt more and more connected. Like, this is the person I'm meant to be with. So there was this underlying, like, almost like a knowing, like, I'm supposed to be with this person. But then we started fighting a lot.
Yeah.
Like, arguing a lot.
Well, there was a lot of built up resentment from previous relationships that we were taking on each other. And we didn't really know how to identify that at the time.
Yeah, so we just
kept on slaying each other.
Yeah, and like, kind of paintbrushing, like, oh, I thought you were like this, but you're actually like this.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Being mad, push away.
And then that's how resentment builds.
Yeah, of course.
And so this is what happens in a lot of relationships, I feel like. You know, you fight, resentment builds, even when you make up, like, you have makeup sex or whatever, but you don't forget. And then so the next time you fight, you're still like, it's adding on to the previous one,
yep.
The previous thing. And you're like, okay, well, this is another one. And now you start like developing almost like a tab of all the shit that they have pissed you off with.
Yep.
And every time you get into a new argument, you just remember all the other shit that pissed you off.
It just builds
about
and
them.
Builds, yeah.
And then you just start
using arguments as excuses to like destroy each other.
Yeah. And you feel like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I don't need this guy.
Yeah.
My life.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
But like, let's talk about like, if I was to write into the show.
Yeah.
And like, what am I going to say exactly? Like, I'm going to say like, okay, I'm with this chick.
Yeah.
And everything's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
But like, sometimes, you know, she'll say something. Or really, it's not even just like what you were saying. It was just like, I will look for a reason why this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was doing.
I felt like you said hurtful things.
But exactly.
That, yeah.
I was trying to push you away from me.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, I want to look for reasons why this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will hurt you to prove that this is bad. And see,
yeah,
you don't want to be with me. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Subconsciously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have a fucking 100-mile view on this thing now. But when you're in it, it's yeah. just a completely different story.
Well, when you're in and when you're used to relationships operating like that, you're just like, all right, I've been prepared for this. I've yep. practiced already. I know this game.
And that's how it was for me too. And
yeah.
in my previous relationship, like I remember thinking like, okay, well, relationships are sacrifice, like all the memes that everyone says, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I remember forcing myself to like, you know, cause she was really into this fucking show called Skins.
yeah.
And I remember just being like, all right, that's her show. So let's watch the show with her. And I couldn't fucking handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might as well just watch Nickelodeon. I can be like 12 years old again. And like, I'm like, this show completely fucking sucks. But to her, it's like it's this profound fucking masterpiece show. And like speaking to her and her age. And I'm 5 years older than her. And I'm like, I don't care about this
shit. You don't
shit.
Get it.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this shit. I'd rather like honestly just stare at a dot on the wall.
So did you feel like you have to do that yeah. in order to...
To connect.
Maintain the relationship?
100%.
Okay. So when we got together and I didn't want to watch your show, did you feel like that was a diss then?
No. Honestly, okay. So over time, I actually was maybe overly sensitive about that stuff. And
yeah.
so I didn't really want to share too much of my stuff with you.
Yeah.
And get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But like you and me had a real great commonplace like in the beginning where like we both love sketch comedy.
Yeah.
So we're just sharing sketch comedy with each other and yeah. just laughing our asses off to that stuff. And that was already like way better than anything I had before,
yeah.
before that, right? So then I was like, man, this is fucking great. This is like fun. And like, you know, then... I would say it took a couple of years for me to show you like my favorite movie, like Heat, for example. Like,
no, you showed me in the first year, but
you fell asleep.
Fell asleep.
But you didn't get to watch it till like a couple of
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, like, yeah, like that was something that was like cool. But like, it's not like I need you to like Heat. It's just
right.
I want to share a part of myself with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And like, who cares? It's a fucking 2-hour movie you watch on a night like with me.
It took a long time for you to watch 8 Mile.
Yeah, exactly. But exactly.
yeah.
And I just think that we both had a killer time anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even... There's it's like a je ne sais quoi where like, I don't know how we knew. Like
even on New Year's. Remember like, we watched South Park every New Year's?
Yeah.
And like, nobody's
bummed.
Well,
the first year we watched Blackfish and that was a bad choice.
That was a very
we
bad
were
choice.
Really sad.
But we both agreed that was a bad choice.
We agreed on it.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. That's what I kind of wanted to get to is like, what, okay, we don't need to formulate what the letter would have sounded like if we wrote in, but
okay.
I wanted to know two things. One, what makes you want to work this out with this person? And two, what things have what violations have they done? Like what were their crimes? What did they do?
Crimes were not.
What did they do wrong?
Not,
you know,
not big enough crimes to fit the
yeah,
punishment.
Because
right?
that's I think how we gauge whether yeah. or not to hit the breakup button. And here's what I would say if we were narrowing it down to like what are the ones that we would not hit the breakup button with and why.
Okay.
I think that it has to be someone who you connect with on a chemistry level.
Yes. 100%,
for sure.
100%.
Like that is just something that
here we are a decade into this thing.
And we're still very much into each other.
Our chemistry is off the charts.
Like super like and when I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about like just now we finish each other's sentences because it's just there's it's there. Like there's
no,
a chemistry
this
there.
This morning Nikki's laying in bed and I'm looking at her and she's looking at me and we did this thing with our eyes. And we're both doing a fucking full heightening game with our eyes
mm-hmm.
for like 4 minutes. But like we both were doing it. And I watched Nikki fucking chuckling her ass off in bed.
We think things the same things are funny.
We just think the same things are funny. Yeah.
So, okay,
and we
so
heighten things the same way. And
there's
we
that.
Have the same stupid brain.
Exactly. Someone that you would want to hang out with.
Yes.
Because you're going to be hanging out with this person. I was actually, I was reading this Twitter thread of a bunch of charts of how you spend your time, where your time goes over time. And it's like the first like 15 years of your life, a lot of it's centered on your parents, like you're spending a lot more time with family, and then it drops off a lot in your 20s. And then friendships, it like peaks in your 20s, but then it drops off firmly in your 30s. And then with your spouse, it goes up in your 30s and just kind of stays there. Like you, so your spouse is the person that you are going to spend most of your life with, like your time in your life, like not just your life, but the time of it during your lifespan. Like that's the person.
Yep.
So if you're going to spend all this time, you gotta like hanging out with them.
Yep.
There's so many couples, I'm like, they can't wait to get away from each other. And it's crazy to me because it's like,
well, vacations away from each other.
I'm not judging, but I'm just like, why would you enter a legal contract with someone that makes you miserable? Okay. So there's that. Then the core values. I think our core values were always the same, no matter what.
100%.
At the end of the day, even if I fucking hated your face, like we had the same core values of how we viewed life, how we thought life should be. We were both really big on loyalty.
The biggest. That's like our number one.
Betrayal is like the biggest sin you could ever do. Yep. If, in fact, I think a lot of like some of our fights like were a miscommunication or a misunderstanding.
You
where
should have had my we back felt about betrayed. This. Yeah.
We felt betrayed was the core, and we could both relate to that. So there's that. And then I would say the one thing that, like, if all those are there, then you just need to work on conflict resolution. And if you're already at a breaking point anyway, where you're like, I don't know which way to go, like, should we break up or stay together? All these things seem like they're a match, but then we just fight all the time. So if all of these things are there, all these components, all these like ingredients to the cake, but you just can't make the fucking cake and just the cake keeps coming out flat. Like, I think that if people could just really work on their conflict resolution and communication skills.
I know.
And we talk about like developing a language. It's going to be different for every couple. So like we can't just tell you our language and then it's like a fix. But one, like you got to be willing to your partner and you both have to be like, we both want to work on this. Mm-hmm. Not just like one's got their foot out the door and like you're the one trying to hang on to them. You both got to work on. Maybe it's a right person, wrong timing thing, if that's the case. But you both got to want to work on it, right? And I think we did. We both wanted the relationship to keep going. And it was after you broke up with me, like, for 2 minutes.
Well, I dumped your bitch ass for 2 minutes.
Yeah, for 2 minutes. And then I broke a coffee table. He was like, oh, shit, I love you, actually.
You broke my favorite coffee table.
Yeah. You just gotta break their coffee table. That was number four.
Yeah,
is
break their coffee table.
Break their coffee table
and see if it lasts.
And see what happens. Yeah, see how they
just
react.
See what happens. Question marks. Three question marks after.
This is why we're like really qualified to give advice. Yeah, like we're professionals on every level.
She shattered my coffee table.
Well, you shattered my heart. So it was an eye for an eye.
And it was an even trade.
Yeah, I mean, coffee table, my heart.
Coffee table's life for your heart.
Yeah.
No, it was one of those things where, I mean, you know, to zoom out a little bit, right? Like, I just loved you. Mm-hmm. And to me, the intensity that I loved you at was so crazy for me, especially going from 0 to 100 like we did, that I was really curious as to how this was going to work out.
Yeah.
Because I was so certain from the night that we made love on.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, from our first date.
Yeah, from our first date.
First date, definitely.
Well, the first date, I texted my friend. She was like, how's it going? And I was like, do you want chicken or steak at the wedding?
Yeah.
Little did I know I would give up meat by the time we got married, but.
Yeah, exactly. But I just knew I was going to marry you from that night.
Yeah.
It was like the spookiest, weirdest thing. But
no, it really was.
But we're both gut people. And like it was really like just a gut feeling. Like, I'm going to marry her. I don't know how.
Yeah, and that's why it was so confusing.
But then even tonight, right? You mentioned something. You're like, oh, I want to show you this photo of me and Franklin from 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, 11 years ago.
11 years ago, whatever. Yeah. And then like, you know, this, like, I it's weird. I already knew you were going to do that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. There's like something, I don't know, there's something about you and me where I just,
yeah,
I had a dream about that last night.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's just weird. Like, I just, I don't know, me and Nikki just click on such a way that it's just,
it's like an ethereal level.
Yeah, it's just like a no-brainer. Like, I had a dream too recently about you and me having a daughter.
And yeah,
like, it was like the most, it was, you know how I always know I'm dreaming?
Yeah.
Because I'm a lucid dreamer or whatever.
Yeah.
So I always know I'm dreaming. But this dream wasn't like, it was weird. It was like, it wasn't, it, like, the dream knew that I know I'm dreaming, but it was there to like show me a painting of something. And like, we had a daughter and she's the most precious thing I'd ever seen. And it was like the most heart-meltingly thing, like heart-melty thing ever.
Yeah.
But then like, it was like crazy because like, you and me and like, in our current timeline,
yeah,
we're both like, fuck kids.
We're both like, well, we're getting so annoyed with kids lately.
Yeah, and like, we had, you know, we've had friends over lately. And like,
I love kids.
We love kids.
But lately, it's just been like the toddler phase of kids for our friends, and they're
family.
Really loud. And I just cannot handle the noise, like how loud they are.
I told my sister,
like, it's really loud.
I'm like, my nephew Cody, I'm like, he could be an X-Man. You could rob a bank with this kid because he fucking has a banshee scream.
Banshee scream. I'm just like, why are they so loud?
And I'm so glad I'm his uncle and not his father.
Yeah, same. I'm like, okay, I could deal with this for like a day. But I'm like, it's only because I know that there's like a light at the end of the tunnel where
they leave after. Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Archie, our boy, he's our godson. We love
Adorable
Archie.
Adorable as hell.
Love him.
But
Archie, if you're watching this even 20 years from now, we love you. But you had so much energy. Where the fuck does it come from?
I'm all up too old for this
just
shit.
Just chill the fuck out a little bit, Archie.
Yeah.
Archie, just sit with the phone like other kids do and just watch a stupid show.
Just like be like zombied out, you know? Like,
watch a stupid show.
Oh my goodness.
You can't.
They're crazy.
They're crazy.
So we're like, how would we even have a kid? But
so
then,
but that's what I mean, right? So like, you know, we're just connected on such a level that like even that dream I was having, I normally lucid dream. This dream was like, hey, here's an example of what could happen. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dreams, you are so profound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dreams, you are, like, I thought you were profound before, but now it's, like, on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So.
I could deal with it with some earplugs, maybe.
We both know it'll be on me. We both know it'll be on me.
Yeah.
Just, like, breakfast. Just, like, you know, if you need.
I gotta win a WSOP bracelet first.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah. Okay, but, so, back to what I was saying about the conflict resolution. Well, okay, so, first of all.
Yes.
If we wrote in that first year,
yes.
I would say, don't break up yet. We always do this. Like, here's what you should confront your partner with.
See how your conflict resolution can pan out. Exactly.
And see what, like, if they're open to this.
Exactly.
And if they are, I think you have a shot.
Yes.
But if not, then you have your answer.
And by the way, folks, when you disagree with each other, that could be maybe the best time to really sort out your differences. Almost like, you know, in satire, right? My favorite form of comedy, using an extreme example to form a point, right? To really stick the audience with the point is, in my opinion, super effective. Like one of my favorite videos I ever did was I got a homeless guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And off the street. And the first thing I said to him, I was like, hey bro, I'm gonna pay you like, you know, 100 whatever bucks. Just come with me for a couple hours. And I was like, I just want you to know the joke is not on you. The joke is on the people who do this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I explained to him, like those videos, he already knew. He had a cell phone.
Yeah.
He's like, I know about this. He's like, oh, I'm so down. He's like, I'm so down. Right.
Yeah.
He was really stoked. He was like our age and he was just really down. And he was, you know, he was the type of guy who, you know, I don't know how to say this in the most respectful way, but he's almost like a homeless entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's like a professional homeless.
Yeah, he's like, I come on here, I fly a sign, I can usually get like $300 in like a day and a half. And he's like, and that pays for the XYZ, and then I have a phone and all this stuff. But he knew exactly what he was doing. He had a budget.
He had
a system.
Yeah.
He had a system. And so, yeah, I did this video where, you know, I basically get this homeless guy and I'm like, hey man, like, I want to give you a little bit of money right now. And like, hey, look at that camera right there. And aren't I a really good person? And
yeah.
then he's like, yeah, you're a great person. And that's the whole video. And then heightens and heightens.
Balloons and heightens. And cake I give him balloons with your face on it.
Yeah, I give him a cake with my face on it. I take him to dinner and I'm like, I paid for it. I'm the fucking man, aren't I? And then we go into a hotel room that I'm like, this is your hotel for the night. And like, In the hotel, there's so many balloons, it's insane. He can't even pull the covers off of his own bed because there's so many balloons on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like troubled by that. And then there's a song being, there's like a person did a song, it's like, Steve Green's the fucking man. And like, there's a band that says, Steve Green's the fucking man. And like, you know what the comments were on that video? You made it about you. Don't you love it? Stark examples underline great points. And so when you have an argument with your partner over something crazy, and let's say it's something like wild, right? It's like Nikki is basically like, I am against threesomes, and I'm like, I'm for threesomes. Something just nuts, where you can now open up the conversation to how you're going to resolve this conflict, because it's like something so starkly different. Like, you want threesomes and I don't, or I want threesomes and you don't. Like, we're going to be able to really figure out our problems here. Because it's such a difference of opinion and it's so stark that like, if we don't agree or if we can't figure this out, like there's going to be real problems.
Well, then I think that's kind of a breakup level because
what's it for, right? Like what's behind the argument? You and me the whole time we've been together, we always find out what's really going on behind it.
Conflict resolution part and how we dismantle.
Yeah.
During arguments,
out there, if you have extreme examples, sometimes that can actually be a gift. Like not necessarily, like, don't look at it as like, oh, that could be deal breakers. Sometimes it could be a gift if you can get to the resolution part. That's all I mean.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say though was that, before all of that, I think that you have to clear out the resentment part.
Absolutely.
But I want to get to the conflict resolution part because I think you're jumping ahead here. Like you're jumping like five steps ahead.
True.
Okay. So I'm just putting, if someone's in this position right now where they, because I feel like a lot of the people that write in are in this position where there's like, I've been in this relationship 6 months to a year. So they're like, you know, it's serious enough to be serious, but it's short enough that I can get out right now if like you don't think it's going to work, you know? Yeah. And here's what I would say if you think that, like, these are signs that I think that you should stay together and try to resolve it. But here is how. And we will get into it right after the break. Please say hello to our sponsors. Tell them we sent you. Buy whatever we tell you to buy. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. We do Crypto Corner once a week. Steve goes in depth with all of your crypto questions. We do a live stream once a month. And you get these episodes a few days early. So... and most of all, it supports the show.
Yeah, it supports the show. And you get to be involved.
It like helps Mark.
It helps Mark. And you get to be part of our illustrious
Discord community.
And they are the best. We love them.
They're the best.
So yeah.
Right after the break.
BRB.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast, and if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blight.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, welcome back. So you've decided to not break up. And this is what you're going to go do with your partner now to see if it's something that's worth continuing and building and salvaging. And whether or not you might be able to construct a healthy, harmonious relationship together. And no, I don't think that when they say relationships are work, I don't think it means that it's a headache for the rest of your life. I think that it means
it's not that
you dig through these tough moments to create solutions that then make everything easier afterwards.
It shouldn't be tedious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I would do, after having gone through this, where it's like, I love this person, but I don't know why we're not like working out, right? I never got to the, you have to have chemistry and you have to have compatibility. So the compatibility part was like the best friend 100%. Part. Like, sorry, I missed that point. But like compatibility and chemistry combined, can't just have one without the other, has to be both. And then you know, and you're like, okay, this might work. Okay, so then you go to your significant other and you are like, hey, I love you. I want this to work. I don't know what we're missing, right? And you have a long talk about everything that you resent them for and allow them to apologize for it. And then you now have to decide whether you can truly forgive them. And when I say forgive, it means you'd never bring that up again because you truly, it's resolved. You believe that they are sorry for it and you accept their apology. And this is the time where we did the arrows exercise.
This is the famous arrows exercise.
Yes, that Steve made up on the spot, but it really did work, I think. Because you can consciously do something, but if it's still in your subconscious, it doesn't really get released. And so I think this exercise just really helped the subconscious also release it. So after you say what you're resentful for, they can ask questions about it. Maybe they want to defend their side or whatever. Good. That's fine. Like,
and if they can't do the arrows, that's fine too.
Yeah.
It's just about when can they get there.
You take the arrow out of where it wounded you and then you
physically
break it over your knee. And it's
done.
It's done. It never gets brought up again. And honestly, I don't even remember a lot of the stuff that we brought up that day.
Well, it was mostly like me cheating on you. And you broke it all over your knee.
No, but seriously, I actually just talked to a neighbor about this where it's like, if you ever cheated on me, if I cheated on you, it's over. Like, it's done. It would break my heart forever, but like, I could never trust you again.
100%.
But for some people, they can forgive cheating and that's okay, but you can never bring it up again. You can never be like, well, you cheated on me, so blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're choosing to get back with this person and accept them and their apology, like, you cannot... You have to clean slate it. It has to be clean slate. So then, and then the other person does the same where like he then went over everything that he like had been secretly, a lot of the stuff I had no idea that he was secretly harboring. Like some of this stuff actually extended to before we were even together. Do you remember this? I remember you brought up a conversation we had at VidCon where I gave you a critique on one of your videos.
Yeah.
And you didn't like it.
That sounds like me.
So you held on to that.
I do that.
This was a year before we even got together. Like a year and a half, I think, before.
Welcome to the inside of my mind.
I had no idea. Yeah, I would never have guessed that
I am a holder honor and I don't forget.
I didn't even think he was pissed off in that moment
people mostly don't know.
So I said, like, I thought we were kind of like shooting the shit about like comedy structure, right? Yep. And I said that he hit this note too many times. Like I thought that he could have heightened it. He just hit the same note a lot. Yep. And he really fucking hated that critique. And so later when we were fighting, like, you know, like a peak thing, he
used it against you.
Yeah, but without telling me that was where it came from, but just like he didn't respect me at all. And I don't even know if he knew that was why ultimately, like deep down, until he brought that up.
Maybe one of the reasons why I've wanted anything in life, honest to God, is this thing that I have about revenge that people don't even fucking know, right? They don't even know they pissed me off, but they did.
Yeah.
And then I build it into like Mount Everest and I have to climb that thing with two fucking ice picks, but I do. And then by the time I'm up on the top and I'm yelling at them about how I did it, they don't even know that they built Mount Everest for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's happened to me my whole life. It's just how I do things, I guess.
Which is fine as long as it's not the person you're trying to spend the rest of your life with and
that's fair.
Build respect for and have a nice relationship
and
with.
And we work things out.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was the beginning of me figuring out that, I mean, he does this with other people and I knew about it, but I didn't know he had a secret against me. You know, that he had been building. And so he brings us up and I apologize. And it's like he had never heard an apology in his life
That's
before.
I don't think like that.
Yeah.
I don't think like that. I see it as me versus you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until, I mean.
I'm not proud of it, by the way. Yeah. This isn't something I'm proud of. Yeah. This is just how I do stuff.
I mean.
I was a kid. We recently
had a thing, a stupid thing over Mario Kart that this happened with. And I like immediately called it out. And then he immediately apologized for it. That's and then we laughed and we had That's a drink.
It was just. She just knows me. I mean, look. Yeah. Look, I was a kid who was bullied.
Yeah.
And I think that this is my way of dealing with bullying.
Yeah.
Where, and that, like I said, stark examples, right? So, like, I was getting bullied. So, it's a very stark example. It's like somebody calling you names and, like, literally shoving you, telling you can't sit with them at basketball games, even though you're on the basketball team, which you worked your ass off to get on the basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, everyone said you couldn't get on the basketball team, and that's what made you get on the basketball team.
Right.
And that's what made you drive after basketball practice to the park to go shoot basketballs with your mom sitting in the parking lot for 2.5 hours because you wanted to prove to everybody that you belonged on the basketball team,
yeah.
even though you're already on the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I grew up, right? So
yeah.
So then, again, stark examples to underline points, that helps me, right? But then you take that same energy into just like little things that people give you and it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I know how ridiculous it is. I really do. I've evolved a little bit and grown
especially
a little
when
bit.
They're not trying to bully you.
They're not.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a buddy, you know, we have a group of people that we're all friends with. And one day he was counting on me about crypto stuff. And you know exactly what I'm talking
about. Yes.
And he did this in public. And I said, okay, cool. I'll never forget that you did this ever. I'll never forget it. And I reminded myself that he did this every morning that I woke up. Every single morning that I woke up, I reminded myself that he did this. And, you know, last run when I hit the $1 million mark, he was the first person that I texted. I did it live on Crypto Corner, actually, just to let him know. And he had no idea. It was something I thought about every morning when I woke up. And he had no idea. I
wouldn't say that's the healthiest thing.
It's just how I do.
But it's just what you do.
It's how I do. And I'm not saying it is.
I was also bullied.
Yeah.
And my way of coping was to detach from everyone.
Yeah.
And like, well, I don't need you then. I don't need you in my life. I'm happy alone. I'm actually really happy alone. And I truly am. I'm truly happy with the activities that I do. I could keep myself occupied for hours. I just felt like you enhanced my happiness and now you don't. So you're gone. Bye. Like, and so
fair.
I told you that's like, hey, I'm detaching from you. Like,
you did.
So that you have an opportunity to
save the day.
To save it. But like, if it continues, like, I'm just going
to
detach. Like, yeah. And yeah. I just, once you're dead to me, you're dead to me.
The thing is that you hadn't detached from me, actually.
No, I hadn't.
You were telling me that you were thinking of that as like a process.
Beginning to. Yeah. Well, like, I feel myself doing that. Like,
as a reflex.
Yeah. Like, I think of all the things that I dislike about you, and then I'm disgusted by you, and then I can't even get back the like for you, even if I tried.
Yeah.
But I recognized that I was beginning to do this.
You communicated that.
And I communicated it so that, and you were like, this means enough to me to want to save it, you know? So
not
you,
just enough
you
to me, you're my number one thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're my number one priority. And
well,
I made sure that you knew after that.
Yeah, after that. Yeah, for sure.
But, like, this was a pivotal day. Yes.
So
I wasn't communicating that you were my number one effectively. And when I realized that, I nipped it in the bud, right?
Yes.
I'm very good at that.
Yeah.
You raised the problem and I'll nip it in the bud.
There were a couple things where like we both put each other as number one now.
Yeah.
But I always felt like I prioritized you as number one, and not that I'm giving up my life for you, that like if you needed me or if I made you a promise, that the promise I made to you is worth more to me than any other obligations that I made. So I'm going to choose you first. And I didn't feel like you were doing that back. And then it was like salt in the wound where you talked about how you used to do that for another girlfriend, but then you realized that you can't do that for people. So
I was 25.
Yeah, I know. So then, so these were the, some of those things. Yeah. So we released a lot of these things, and I feel like it felt, didn't it feel like a weight was lifted? Like afterward, it just felt so light.
That's the arrows thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt really light. So that was amazing.
But now, that's the thing, voicing it, voicing the trauma, removing the trauma.
Yeah.
Right? And then you feel weightless after.
Because you can't rewire the mechanisms, the like the stuff, until you
remove the resentment.
Yeah, you gotta get all the gunk out first. You gotta clean it all out. You gotta unfuck everything. Yep. And then you can put back pieces in a very healthy way that maybe.
And that's why fucking JK Crew, look at me, bitches. You're welcome for the arrow method, you fuckers.
Yeah.
They all swore to God, oh, Steve and Nikki just live in a fairy tale land and shit. They love the arrow method.
Yeah.
They all love the arrow method. But that's the thing. Like you have to do it.
You have to be open to it. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't work for, you know, if you're like being silly about it, but
No, it's true. I say that out of love. It's just, it's beautiful that everyone's gotten a lot out of it. Yeah, I love that. I really love
that. Me too.
Yeah.
So we cleared the resentment out. And that doesn't mean that our relationship went to like fucking cherries and rainbows after that. It didn't. It was better because we removed all of that shit. Like it felt lighter and everything, but we still would get into like a heated argument here and there.
Sure, of course.
However, this time when it would come up, it wasn't something where we just held on to it and let it build. This time,
it was new.
We both felt like we were on the same team.
Yes.
And so even when it was like emotions were there and it was heated, it wasn't at the partner. It wasn't at your, like,
it was at the argument.
It was at the frustration of the thing. And I always made sure to verbalize, like, to separate the two. Like, I'm frustrated at the situation. Like, this situation is what's making me really upset. And, like, and I think, and then we would try to, like, solve the problem together. Like, here's why I did this, and here's why I'm reacting like this.
Yes.
And
we deconstructed things, and we still do.
And this we still do. Most of this is our process.
Because me and Nikki wear the same jersey. We're both wearing green now, right? Mm-hmm. We're both the greens.
Yes.
We both are, like, wearing the same fucking jersey.
We just got really good at, like, doing it fast now. Like,
legit.
Before, when we had our training wheels on at first, it would take maybe, like, a couple days to like kind of get through a lot of back and forth. Maybe we're stuck on the same issue for quite a few arguments.
Yep. And you're wearing Nikki jersey, I'm wearing Steve jersey still. So I'm like, I still see you as not on my team. So I'm like trying to stick up for my team instead of trying to solve the problem. Whereas once we got on the same team, we're in the same jersey.
Yeah.
We're both just like, oh, well, this is what's going on out there. Like, this is why we can't score.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Right? Like, we're not playing defense on here. Like, we got to get on this guy and fucking make sure that he can't shoot.
And then sometimes, like, you throw out a thing like, well, maybe if we try this tactic and we go that way, it's like, nah, it wasn't that. Like, it probably wasn't that. We go back to the drawing board and like, okay, what if it was this?
But we would uncover it. It's not that immediate, right? It's like, you know, one time we're on a podcast and we uncovered like a whole fucking litany of shit.
Yeah.
Right? And that was great for us, though.
It was great.
That was like maybe.
It was embarrassing in the moment.
It was so embarrassing. Because
it was
in the moment,
front of someone else.
In front of one of our friends.
Yeah.
But then it was like, dude, this was like beautiful. Like this, I would say that was like probably our biggest, like as far as like stopgaps go, that was probably the last one.
Yeah.
And then we had like.
Definitely.
It was like Breakthrough City USA after that.
Yeah. And that was what, like. 6 years in, something five years in.
It was like 4 years ago,
something like that. Yeah,
but that was something too that we didn't even know. Like, genuinely, like her to me or me to her, we didn't sit there and know that that was something that was bothering us. But it was like one of the last little screws that we hadn't like unscrewed, and it was just completely unaware to me. And so, like, actually, if you watch this footage, which never was released, but if you actually watch the footage of it, you would see me looking bewildered because I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then Nikki is like explaining, like pouring her heart out about what's going on. And I'm so confused. And like that was like the first night of like, I think the next 2 days of me and you just figuring out this last little thing that we actually got so much out of. I'm so glad that that happened.
Yeah. I mean, and since then, it's so funny because, well, we've argued in front of our friends before, family before.
Sure.
But it's like, there's emotion involved, but we get through it so fucking fast. Yeah. And they're like, wait, you guys are done? Like,
we
worked it out.
Yeah, we're good. It's so funny.
It's really funny.
But we earned it.
And I actually think that if we did have kids, I'd want them to see that because I think it's a really healthy way to resolve things and quickly, and you could see why, and you could see the mechanisms. It's not a hidden behind closed doors thing. I think a lot of the reasons we're not taught this is because it's so hidden. You know, people, your parents don't want to fight in front of you. Okay, obviously. Or if they did, it was really bad. It was like, you know, traumatizing almost.
I could hear it anyway, Dad.
Yeah. But they didn't do a healthy conflict resolution in front of you. So you weren't taught that.
Exactly.
You never saw what it looked like to resolve things in a healthy way.
And honestly, one of my biggest rules too with Nikki, once we first got together, I said, let's never, ever involve our parents.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be there for when we solve this stuff.
Mm.
And so they're going to hold on to the argument and not the resolution.
Yeah.
And we never did that. And thank God, because our parents.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite things about you is how much you love my family.
The only time I ever asked my mom about anything we fought about was more just to see if I really fucked up when I was crazy or not.
I know what you're talking about. You want to talk about it?
We've talked about it before on one of the episodes, but it was when I kissed my girlfriend, like, but in front of everybody at my party. It was
in front of me. You're sitting in my lap.
It was like a drunk, we just thought, because I was in my young 20s, and it was always like we would go to Playboy Mansion parties and stuff, and it was always just like, we're drunk, let's make out. But it wasn't sexual.
No,
did not have any sexual feelings at all. Zero. Like, never. I just thought it was like, crazy, we're crazy, we're drunk, we're blah, 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 let's do something crazy. And people, it was kind of normal for people to be like, oh, they're crazy, you know, and then whatever, maybe it's an attention thing, I don't know. For her, I think it was, but for me, I was just like all right, my friend does this when she's drunk, like whatever. And Steve got really hurt by that, by me kissing someone else, and understandably so. It didn't even cross my mind that he would ever be hurt by that. And so that was the only time I asked my mom, is this crazy? Am I bad? Am I just so oblivious that this is obvious cheating? And I would have never done that. I didn't even think that way. And she laughed.
Yeah,
and she asked my dad, and my dad laughed too.
I'm glad.
And so I was like, you know what? You know, even though, it made me feel good to not feel like a cheater, but I still respected your position or your feelings
and
about
your family
it.
Did too, and I appreciate
that
too.
Yeah, and they did too.
Even though they laughed, and I honestly, you guys know me, I can appreciate a good laugh anytime, even at myself. Obviously, at myself the most. Please laugh.
Literally
at me.
On the last episode, or maybe it was this one, you talked about me crying in a closet. It's funny.
Exactly.
Even though my feelings are valid. Okay, feelings are valid, but the way I dealt with it is funny. It's funny.
No, and honestly, that was funny, and I love your family. I love that they're open and honest like that.
Yeah,
and. And sometimes I am being very silly. And I was being a little bit dramatic here. Mm-hmm. But I think it was just about the greater thing of it's a very stupid thing. But
it's not.
Your lips are my lips.
Yeah.
And my lips are your lips.
No, once you explained it that way.
And that was it.
I was like, that's actually really sweet.
That was it. I love you, and I just want those to be mine, and that's it.
I agreed with that. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I respect that. When you put it that way, and you were vulnerable about it.
Yeah, that's the thing is I was... It's a vulnerable thing to admit.
I was like,
that I love you that much.
I was like, that was really sweet.
But then some people say, oh, he's using love to manipulate her. She just wants to make out with chicks. And that's awesome. You know what I mean? I get that. I get it. I really do.
We just want to squeeze each other's boobies and...
Nah, you weren't
Can we
doing
squeeze
that.
Each other's boobies?
You weren't even doing,
we weren't
that.
Doing that.
Shut
no.
the fuck
no,
up.
I was trying to... The audience know, out there, they're like...
Yeah, no. It was
my wife wanted to make
true,
out with women...
like sloppy whores making out with each other. Like... That's a
no,
fact.
No, then we would have titty grabbed for sure if we were
no,
sloppy
No, but
whores.
I'm saying sloppy whores.
Whores.
Yeah.
Whores light.
Yeah.
But whores light.
Yeah, sloppy whores holding drinks. They can't grab titties because they're holding too many drinks.
Too many drinks, yeah. A lot of jello shots.
Yeah.
Happened
but no,
that night.
Again, I was being dramatic. I was definitely just trying to voice something, but ineffectively.
You know?
Trying to tell you what I really
and that's okay.
Wanted.
I mean, it's not a smooth process in the beginning.
Exactly.
I think, and so then that's, I think the final evolution was we really got good at streamlining our language.
When
we communicate now about something that we're arguing about, it's like so so quick, so smooth.
Yeah.
The other person gets it immediately.
It's faster than our ad breaks.
Yeah.
It's like insane.
It's really, really fast. Yeah. But in the beginning, it's a process of, and really it's like, okay, let me hear my partner. What are they saying? What are they feeling? Like, yeah. And it's a complete.
Do they mean that, or do they mean something else?
It's a complete trust that if I open up to you about my whole heart, my whole feelings, that you're not gonna spit on it. You know, like you're gonna listen to it and really take it in. Yeah, and have my back. Because
that's the biggest
thing. That's another thing with other bad, toxic relationships or unhealthy. You get used to not voicing it because you don't want them to use it against you as a weapon.
Yes.
Like, and call it, because people.
Too often.
I'm very emotional. Like, when I'm having emotions, whether I'm happy, sad, angry, mad, frustrated, like, whatever the whole spectrum of emotions, it comes out as crying for me. Like, it just comes out as crying. I'm like, when I'm really happy and looking at a beautiful sunset, I'm crying. When I'm really sad and in the pits of depression, I'm crying. And when I'm angry at things, I'm crying. And so I can't help it. If I have an overflow of emotions in any direction, it's just, I'm crying.
My mother's the same
but
way.
I'm still talking and speaking logically and clearly. However, previous partners would take the emotion and just immediately use that as a weapon against me. And it was the most frustrating, most gaslighting thing I've ever experienced. So I got really good at just hiding when I felt any emotion, just like not sharing them and like being open about them, because I didn't want to be called crazy or that my emotions were making me crazy or thinking wrong or whatever.
Growing up, my mother dealt with this. Anytime she was in a debate with somebody or getting yelled at by credit card people on the phone or whatever the fuck, right? Like, they would always, she would, anytime there's a heated argument, she doesn't mean to cry.
Yeah.
But she has to cry it out.
And then you're mad at yourself, or you're frustrated because you're crying.
She's so mad at herself.
So then you're crying more because you're frustrated.
And then your debate opponent is just reveling in it, fucking
yes.
Like an elephant in water, fucking. On their own heads, like constantly just like, yeah, well, yeah, you can't handle the argument, I guess.
Because for some reason in this world, reality, like you can't have logic and emotion at the same time, I guess.
So I was raised with the opposite, right? So I was raised with knowing that those are two things that are codependent, actually, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, emotions and logic go together, because that is how you voice your logic, is through your emotions sometimes, like especially during a heated moment. But that's, you know, and my mom was the most frustrated person, but you are my mom in many ways.
Yeah.
And
I'm so glad that you had that experience.
I am too. And I really am. And you know, my older sister too, I'm really, my hot sister, Jen.
Yeah.
I'm very appreciative
of
her.
Wouldn't be on the show. We wanted to have her on the show.
She broke all the cameras.
For the thumbnail.
Exactly.
Wanted to.
She was on the show, but she broke all the fucking cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to buy
new cameras.
$7,000 in cameras. So, I'm really glad that I was raised by, you know, my sister and my mom and my dad too. My, you know, the old man, he, you know, had an interesting way of communicating during when I was young, but it definitely didn't let me mince words, right? Like, when it came time for me to speak my piece, I had to know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I had to be in and out, right? Like, I'm pretty good at that, like getting in and out of a point. I could tell a story. I could tell a 20-minute story in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could give you the 20-minute version if you like. Or I could give you the 12-minute version if you like. Like I just have learned how to get in and out of things quickly,
mm-hmm.
like through like experiences like I had growing up, right? But then, my mother is like the strongest woman I have ever known. But she doesn't see herself that way. And it's very similar to you.
Because the world tells you that emotions equal weakness, and
yes.
Then you're just told that, so then you start believing it when it's not actually true.
Yes.
And your emotions are actually a guidepost, and I think that people who are really like in tune with their emotions, that like it's really big intuition people, like it really helps your intuition. I can read people very quickly, very mm-hmm. easily. Even the slightest change in someone's emotions, I pick up on it super quickly.
Yes, you do.
Because of how like sensitive, like, and when I say sensitive, not like I'm sensitive at like any little thing will set me up, more like I'm just very sensitive to the change in energies of anything, whether it's from happy to sad or from angry to mad or like someone's slight adjustment of emotion.
And as a people pleaser, you're hypersensitive to that because you want people to be comfortable around you.
Yeah, I don't know which came first. Like, because I'm like, this makes me uncomfortable that they just shifted emotion. So maybe I need to change it in some way. I don't know which came first. But going back to the argument stuff, it's being able to be vulnerable and express it to your partner and trust that they are going to take you seriously.
And they're going to have your back.
And they're going to hear your feelings. And then the person, if they hurt your feelings, they say sorry. And sorry does not mean that you're wrong. Yes. It just means, hey, sorry, I hurt you because I didn't mean to. Because you obviously didn't mean to hurt your partner. And then you say sorry. And then they're like, okay, well, thank you. And then you work on the problem together. Because a lot of times it's hard to work on the problem when the other person doesn't feel heard yet.
Mm-hmm.
So your partner hearing you and validating your feelings and then being like, okay, I'm sorry, let's work on it now. That's like step one. Then you both get to work on the problem and they're more receptive to hearing your side because you just heard their side. And it just becomes super easy to want to work on it together.
And our relationship went to the next level when we wore the same jersey,
mm-hmm.
right? We're on the same team. And we attack problems from that angle.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, well.
Because when I win, he wins. When you win, I win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why
would I tear down someone that my teammate?
Exactly. Like as teammates, let's find out what's going on out there.
Yeah.
So we can fix it. And not like it's you versus me at all times, which is what couples do. And it's such a huge mistake. It's what really fucks things up a lot. And builds resentment and keeps resentment. And then people keep on pouring more layers of concrete on top of the resentment.
Well, and they do things like, well, let's get married. That'll fix it.
God, I know.
Because once we get married.
Maybe if we have a kid, that'll fix it.
The baby will fix it.
Let's heighten.
Yeah.
Let's buy a house. That'll fix it. Let's have a baby. That'll fix it.
Yeah. Promise, I really feel like we're just sharing this because I don't think. It's some shit they don't tell you for sure.
Correct.
That we had to figure out. And I think it would make everyone's relationship so much more streamlined if they just saw like how to resolve arguments in a healthy way or resolve, issues. And also it's a really good sign or big like red flag if you're not able to do this with the person that you guys probably should break up. Like,
and if you can't jump out outside of yourself, right, if you're like, I'm too passionate, I'm too angry or whatever, give yourself a little bit of a break or whatever.
Yeah.
And but then try to come back at the argument from their perspective. Like, understanding their point of view is what will help you solve the problem, because once you're in their head and they're in your head and you're trying to solve this as partners and not as enemies, you really will find a lot of common ground and you'll just start to break the arguments apart like in a way that you didn't do before. And that's all we want people to do.
Yeah.
Truly.
And even if you guys can't come to the resolution together, like sometimes you can come to a resolution without giving up your, like, we can agree to disagree, right?
That's happened to us a couple times.
That's happened a couple times, but mostly we agree on everything. But sometimes it's like, hey, I don't agree, but I respect you, whatever.
Right.
Even if you can't get there, though, this will make your therapist's job so much easier if you guys decided to go to counseling eventually. Instead, we've never been to counseling, but if you did, you've already done like a lot of the work for
them.
I think it a lot of people go to counseling, they're like, well, it didn't work because the counselor took their side or whatever. Like, I felt
I hear
out.
That all the time.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing when I hear that.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what do you mean you're their side? You're on your partner's side.
Mm-hmm.
You should be on their side. Like, If they're juxtaposed against you, then you got to dig in and figure out why that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But if you do all this stuff first, it's so you don't feel like there's sides. You feel like, hey, we've done this much work, but we can't find the solution.
But guess what? Like you said, it's work. So you got to put the work in.
Yeah,
you have to.
And that's the work. I think that people
say marriage is work.
Yeah, marriage is work. Like, yeah, but it shouldn't be miserable. It shouldn't be miserable.
No.
It shouldn't be something where you get done with work and you dread going home.
God, no. It's not miserable. It's the best thing I've ever done.
You should be excited to go home and hang out with your partner.
I can't wait. I'm always excited to see her.
When I hear stories like that, it makes me sad. And I go, how could I help this person, because I think everyone deserves to be happy. And, you know, some people are going to stay miserable in relationships because it's sunken time costs, where they're just like, well, I already put 5 years in. I don't want to go back to being single. And I'm not here to try to help those people. But some people that genuinely are like, what can we do? How do I save this? I love this person, but it's just, it hurts. Yeah. I think that these were things that really, really helped us. And if we had known in the beginning, it would have been even more, it would have been even quicker.
Same.
A lot of times, and recognizing that, like, what the actual issue was, like, that you were projecting things from your past relationships and vice versa. And
having the balls to voice that.
Yeah.
You know?
And even
that,
like,
helped a lot.
Even like childhood things. Like, I think a lot of inner child, like Steve was talking about being bullied. And like, so then he developed a coping mechanism when he was in middle school, and he's now using it in his adulthood relationships.
I use it every day.
And maybe it still works in some facets
it's
of his life.
Very productive. Very productive.
Productive, sure. But not in.
Not healthy, not
in,
always.
Not healthy in a relationship. No. So there are some things like that that you can recognize, that like, you know, coping mechanisms that you developed in childhood. But anyway, I thought that that would, because of the majority of our relationship questions are, I love this person, but I don't know if it'll work. Should we break up? Try that. There's that. Yeah. There's all of that. I hope that this was helpful.
Yes.
It is some shit they don't tell you. Maybe one day you'll have the privilege of hearing us argue on a podcast.
Why not?
And we'll resolve it on the podcast. Actually, one of our first podcast episodes, like back in the very beginning, like the fifth episode or something like that.
I remember.
We had a big argument. There were guests there too.
Yeah.
And Mark, our producer, said that he thought we'd be together forever because
he turned
of the
to
way...
my brother Nate, who was helping with the show at the time, and he said those two will be together forever because the way we solved
because
it.
The way that we resolved
we
argument.
Resolved it in like 15 minutes,
and we actually fought a lot, like not fought a lot, but like had quite a few arguments
in the early days of the podcast.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, it was a whole new way of communicating with each other.
Yeah.
So it was, it was
and
great.
And we figured it out.
It was productive. It was great.
It was productive.
You learn, bitches. Like, God
bitches.
Forbid. God forbid you do that. But no, there is something I want to close with too.
Yeah.
There is something that has been out there on the internet that I started, obviously, because I was talking about how, like, you know, I put a lot of undue pressure on you to come when we were fucking.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this game that I was playing with you, like almost like, you know, like a fucking, I don't know, what do you call it? Like, I control you. Like, I'm going to fucking fuck you.
Like, you're the man. Like, it's an ego thing.
Ego thing. But like, it was like a game thing. But then I would be like, you know, I would be like, hey, come for me right now, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you would just tell me.
Just. Fake it.
I did.
Yeah. Because then I could relax and like actually enjoy the experience.
Exactly. But people truly believe that I don't make you come when we're fucking.
No.
But I'm like, okay, let me just clarify this point, because like it's so like I was trying to be open about something and like help people like in their own lives, and like don't put undue pressure on yourselves and shit like that.
Yeah.
But then people go like, Steve's not even making this bitch come. Like, what? And I'm like, dude, that's not what the fuck's going on. It's just that I was doing this stupid fucking.
So you want me to clear your good name?
No. I want to say this out loud because just for clarity purposes, it's not even about me, honestly.
Yeah.
It's about like this entire thing, like especially like as we talk about sex stuff.
Yeah.
Like I was putting undue pressure on you.
Yeah.
That's what that was about. And I was trying to call myself out for that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call yourself out and say, oh, I wasn't making this bitch come. I can't make her come.
Yeah.
Who does that?
No.
No, I was just trying to say, like, I was trying to do this, like, game almost, and it was putting undue pressure on you, and it was ruining the experience.
Right.
And then, like, I got rid of that, and now it's all Gucci, but, like, some people are like, yo, this guy can't make this bitch come.
Well, they're stupid, and they're missing the whole point.
No, I know, but I just wanted to underline the point again.
Yeah.
With stark examples to make sure that people know, because some people... can't communicate sexually, same thing. Mm-hmm. And then they think, you know, they'll think that the result of that is, oh, well, you know, it's because of this, but it's not because of that. It's a whole different argument.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what the fuck you're talking about.
But yeah, there's a different issue.
Different issue.
Yeah, sometimes you think it's this, but there's an underlying issue.
And you talk it out. And you figure out what the fuck's going on. But that's the point of communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like sexual, relationship, right? Like all of it, it's all just a part of the whole fucking taco of like, you put all these ingredients together and that's how you get a taco.
Yeah. Now I want tacos.
We should order tacos.
We should order tacos.
Okay. Let's
I hope everybody orders tacos tonight. We're going to go get some tacos, guys.
Yeah, I hope you do
it
too.
Was good talking about this.
What does that mean? I don't get it.
Taco.
What does that mean?
Talking
about it? Yeah. It was good talking about it.
Taco to you later. Did you get that one?
No. What are you doing?
All right, I got to explain some stuff to Steve, but we'll see you guys next week. Oh, it's okay, baby. I'll explain it. It's okay. I love you. We'll talk to you later. Tune in next week. It's okay. It was a pun. It's the pun.
Do you want to come? You want to come get some tacos?
No.
You can't because you can't.
Mark, cut this out.
She physically can't. It's not my problem. It's a medical problem.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz.
And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz.
And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz.
And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.